All right, welcome in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. GMAC out today, but we got a lot to get to, a lot to cover, and it all starts with the Golden State Warriors wrapping up an NBA title last night, fourth title in eight seasons, just a heck of a run. It's going to be interrupted a little bit, Damian, by that COVID year, which Golden State had the worst record in the NBA 3 years ago, and that's one that I think a lot of people don't even really – I'm not going to say that they don't count it, but they don't appreciate it the way, they don't view it the same way that they will this one or most other NBA titles, just because of everybody obviously being in the same place, playing in the same gyms, and just how that thing operated. But we have to begin to try and appreciate this run and what it's been and what it is, because it's been one of the best runs in NBA history.
Yeah, and you got to look, you got to think about this. When we were watching Golden State, there was a period of time when we literally thought that Golden State would not, like, they wouldn't end their season anywhere else but the finals, year in and year out. And then you have a Klay Thompson injury in a finals, then there's a year when he doesn't even get a chance to play, and then Steph breaks his wrist, and it, you see the whole thing just completely crumble. It just falls flat on its face. And then as soon as everybody gets a chance to get back together and play, they're back to where they're back to this, to the Warrior standard. And I mean, it like you said, we really have to kind of like let this thing soak in and understand like what we're witnessing is history.
Absolutely. 34 points for Steph Curry last night. He goes 6 of 11 from behind the 3-point line. And I tell you, man, the guy that deserves a lot of discussion, because Klay Thompson was great. Draymond Green was great. I mean, Draymond 12-12 last night, played a big role in that team being able to win the way that they did. Steph's been great for the majority of the series. Obviously, 0-4 in the last game out, but still, he's just been unbelievable. Andrew Wiggins goes 18 points last night, 4 of 9 from behind the 3-point line. A guy that had almost been completely forgotten about. And we thought was just going to be kind of this defensive role player for Golden State coming into the postseason. And he's been great on both ends of the floor and was instrumental in Golden State getting this title. Seventh Canadian ever to win an NBA championship. He deserves a ton of pub, man. And I think more people need to discuss just how important Andrew Wiggins was for this Golden State title last night.
Yeah, and a guy that really, number one overall pick in Minnesota, and it just never, it never panned out, never worked out. Not like they didn't have the players, but it's just at the time, It just wasn't a fit. Gets traded to Golden State and gets a chance to really solidify a role in something that was already, you know, he had to find his spot in that engine. He had to find his spot in that car that was already on the road to the championship. And he did a great job, like you said, on both sides of the ball, being able to assist and help everything on the offensive side. And defensively, I mean, he was asked to, you know, put up with Jaylen Brown to go and guard Jason Tatum at spots. And I mean, he used his length, he used his body, he used his physical presence to go out there and help this team win a championship.
And that Boston offense after game two just plummeted. And yeah, they had good individual performance in certain games, but collectively just was not the same as game one. And you and I talked about it, and I can remember GMAC kind of poo-pooing it that, listen, Al Horford's not going to hit 9 threes or whatever he hit in game one. Like, it's not going to happen. And he bounced back yesterday with, well, they hit 8 in a row. Well, they missed their first 12. So, it's just, yeah, Boston was a little bit streaky from behind the 3-point line. But those adjustments that Steve Kerr and Golden State made, specifically after game two, really began to become a headache for this Boston offense. They couldn't get in sync. Couldn't find the rhythm that they had early in games in this series. And I think ultimately that was the difference, because yes, the offense for Golden State is fantastic, but they were also the second best defense in the NBA. We talked about that coming into the series, that didn't get enough credit for what they had done on the other side of the court. You go to most of the metrics, they were 2 or 3 in the NBA, most of those being behind Boston, yes, but their offense was better. And ultimately, that defense, a big reason why they were able to get this title, especially with what they did to Tatum and Brown down the stretch. And you knew Horford wasn't going to be able to carry it the way that he did game one, and it proved correct, and Golden State gets the title.
Yeah, and you got to give a lot of credit to Boston for, I mean, they had their backs against the wall all through the playoffs. You know, they were facing elimination in the Nets series. Well, I mean, they swept the Nets, but they were looking at elimination in the Bucks series. And then they and then also the Heat going down there and winning game 6 and game 7 and find a way to get to the NBA finals. But right now, Jason Tatum, I kind of feel like he's going to take a lot of criticism for his performance in the NBA finals. You know, when you want to become this, when you're ascending towards superstardom, these are the moments where you have to show up. And really and truly, he had some bad performances. His shots weren't falling. But if you're a guy like Jaylen Brown, you probably put the world on notice. Like, okay, we know what they can do. We know what they can do together. Marcus Smart did everything he possibly could on the defensive side, and also chipped away a few times on the offensive side. But like you said, after game one, you just knew that Al Horford wasn't going to be able to put that offensive output again consistently through the series. Sheer looks and everything. Like you said, the Golden State Warriors made the adjustments, and now now they're champions.
There were moments in this game last night that it looked like it was going to be insurmountable for Boston to even stay in it, be in it, have an opportunity to be competitive late. Steph Curry knocked down this three to give Golden State a 22-point lead.
Six assists for Green. Curry a long three.
It's good! Steph Curry from way downtown! Some Curry chaos here on the third. It's the largest lead of the game.
Wasn't just Curry. Klay Thompson got in on the act as well.
Holy cannoli. This is crazy.
And Steph Curry excited, elated after winning his fourth NBA title.
Like, God is great, the ability to be on the stage and play with amazing teammates. I guess a great Boston Celtics team that, gave us everything to try to get to the finish line. This one hits different for sure, just knowing what the last 3 years have meant, what it's been like from injuries to changing on the guard and the rosters, Wiggs coming through, our young guys carrying the belief that we could get back to the stage and win, even if it didn't make sense to anybody when we said it. All that stuff matters, and now we got four championships, me, Dre, Clay, and Andre. Finally got that bad boy. Special, man, special. Just all the work that went into it, all the faith and belief, and everybody in that locker room that's, getting the spray champagne around the locker room. Everybody mattered in that process, so I'm just proud of everybody.
Tough to argue with four championships means that you're one of the best ever. Kind of like Royal Automotive. They have four dealerships on one lot. Whatever you want to drive, they're going to have it. Where else can you find the 2022 GMC Sierra, Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, Volvo XC90? It's all right there in one spot, not to mention Royal's selection of hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive, pre-owned Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. They've got your next car, truck, or SUV. That nucleus stronger than Golden State. You can reserve a new model in under an hour. It's that fast. And they'll even deliver your new ride right to your driveway. How convenient is that? You already know where to find the fine folks at Royal. Corner of I-65 and Highway 31 of Vestavia. Online at royalautomotive.net. Remember, for every ride, there's Royal. So I wanted to go to the Steph Curry clip to begin our discussion, because we have John Parker Wilson coming up at 7:20, of where does Steph now fall for you? 800-239-9569. Tweet in at MacNQ. You can always be a part of the show there. It's brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC as well. Steph Curry, a lot of folks saying now, Damian, that he has moved into the top 10. Easily now a top 10 player all time. I'll give you a couple of the accolades. Four NBA titles. That passes Larry Bird. That ties in with LeBron James. Two MVPs. Two scoring titles. Now a finals MVP that he grabbed last night, and one All-Star Game MVP. He is the seventh player ever to win an MVP, finals MVP, All-Star Game MVP, and a scoring title in their career. Eighth player to win MVP, finals MVP, and a scoring title. The other guys to do it, if you would like to know what kind of company that he's in, don't even need to give you their full names. Kareem, Shaq, Jordan, Durant, Wilt, Kobe, LeBron. That's the rare air that Steph Curry is now in, with what he has accomplishing, specifically getting that finals MVP last night. So I'll ask you, Damian Mitchell, it's easy to be a prisoner of the moment. It's easy to take Steph Curry dropping 34, 6 3-pointers in a championship clinching victory. Where does Steph rank for you all time after grabbing this title and the performance that he gave to get it last night?
To me, he's top five. And I look at his overall impact on the game, along with his individual accolades. Like, he, at 6'3", 6'2", as a point guard facilitator, basically he made the position. Him and LeBron James have made the basketball, the way we look at basketball, positionless, because you have to be able to do so much now, where even if you're a big man, you're looked at as an elite big man if you can step out at the 3-point line and bust one from the perimeter, because of the clip that Steph Curry has as a point guard at the 3-point shot. Because you look at how the game has evolved, and like you say, everything started basically, instead of inside out, it's outside in. It's more, let's shoot up as many threes as we possibly can, and let's get to the cup. There, you know, the mid-range is kind of a lost arc because of the way Steph Curry is. And I think that he has to be in the conversation of top five because, again, the premise of basketball is putting the ball in the hoop. And he can do it at an extremely high level, at a level that we've never seen before. A guy that can really – he is the best shooter we've ever seen. And I feel as though that has to go into an account when you talk of basketball. Like, he's not physically the most dominant. Like, he wasn't blessed with the size of a Jordan or a Wilt or a LeBron or Shaq. He's doing this at the size that he is, finding a way to get to the cup, and also really, again, he's a 3-point leader for a reason, and it's not, and it doesn't show any signs of stopping anytime soon.
Grabbing his first Finals MVP last night, Steph Curry averaged 31.2 per game, 6 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game, and he made 5.2 3-pointers per game. First player in NBA history to average 35, 5, 5, and 5 threes in an NBA Finals series. Nobody else has ever done it. And debating where he falls in all time is going to be one that's a lot of back and forth. A lot of people are going to be passionate about top 3, top 5, not top 10, whatever it is. If you're saying not top 10 anymore, probably not really going to be a part of this conversation. But you just think about his career in general. I mean, kid played at Davidson, NCAA scoring leader in 2009, drafted in the top 10. He won a title before KD did, and he won one with KD and after KD. He's got 2 MVPs. I mean, you think about 2 FIBA NBA championships with Team USA as well. Been to All-Star games, scoring titles. Like we've said multiple times, undisputed greatest perimeter player to ever walk the face of planet Earth. That is a hell of a career already. And the guy's got a lot left in the tank. So I don't know how long that nucleus can roll together and be as effective as they've been. But the coolest part's got to be when you go out of Kevin Durant, yeah, he's one of the greatest players on Earth, but you can also be successful without him. Look what they did with Andre Iguodala a couple of years ago when he came in and became a massive part of why they were winning games. And now you bring in Andrew Wiggins, a guy that was completely forgotten about. There was almost no market for Andrew Wiggins when he came to Golden State. And they've turned into a hell of a player. Not just a role player, but a hell of a player in general. 18 points, 4 threes last night for Wiggins, 7th Canadian to ever win an NBA championship. So it becomes very tough for me after I get past 3. And I'll just be completely honest with you. Jordan, LeBron, Kobe. That's my top 3. And there are a lot of different reasons for it, but I think the multifaceted, I guess, way that their games operated would be why those guys are probably going to be, I'm not going to say insurmountable, but it's why I told you on Morning Jocks that I just don't think Steph Curry can ever end up as the greatest player to ever live. He's not going to do what those three did defensively. He's not going to do what those three did inside the 3-point line. And although his skill is probably still a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for, I just don't see Steph Curry hopping over Kobe, LeBron, or Jordan on most people's top 3 all time.
Yeah, and again, it's tough. And of course, I'm not going to put him over LeBron at any time in any situation. But I look at the way that it's almost like how Allen Iverson is. Like, his impact is felt so in so many different ways that it also adds to the quote unquote, like, the folklore of what Steph Curry is. Like, when people say, oh, he's changed the game. No, he really has changed the game when it comes to how we judge certain basketball players of, again, the 3-point shot. And again, I look at the way LeBron, Michael, and Kobe, the way, like you said, what they did as far as their total package and the way that they can do multiple things. Like, you can put LeBron down there on the block and he can guard some of your big men, and you can put Kobe on anybody as he's locked down defender. Same with Jordan. Whereas Steph, again, you can't really blame him because of his size. He's not going to be able to go down there and bang on the block but he can give your one through the three, he can give him the business on defense and offense. So I just look at – I understand what you're saying as far as he'll never be able to top what they do, but he definitely has to be in the conversation now.
All right, so I'm assuming those three are in your top five, Jordan, LeBron, Kobe?
Yeah, absolutely, and AI and Steph.
Oh, Iverson is in your top five?
Yes, without a doubt.
Over Magic, over Kareem, over Wilt?
A lot of it goes, over but Bill Russell. I didn't see him. And I understand their impact on the game. I really do, but – like so much time has
I feel like this is the end one coming out in you right now.
No. I just look at, I mean, just what I grew up with in basketball. When I looked at Allen Iverson, I was like, yes, he literally picked up the Philadelphia 76ers and said, I will take y'all to the finals. Like the only thing that stopped him was, I mean, with Shaq and Kobe. Like there was nothing.
If you're starting an NBA franchise in their prime right now, are you taking Shaquille O'Neal or Allen Iverson?
Give me Shaq. Give me Shaq.
Kevin Durant or Allen Iverson? I think your top five has changed.
I would lean AI. And my thing is with Kevin Durant, though, is outside of being 7 feet, like being just taller than Allen Iverson, I feel as though Allen Iverson can do everything Kevin Durant can do.
Okay, so here's another very interesting portion of this discussion. And this shows you how big a prisoner of the moment that we can be. Where's Giannis in this discussion, and how much of his ranking is just based on longevity and the lack of it?
Right. Yeah, that if Giannis develops a jump shot, he's in it. If he can develop a consistent jump shot, he's in it. Not to say that he's probably not in the discussion now just because he's the Greek freak, but if he develops a consistent jump shot, he's in the top five.
Yeah, 10 players have won an MVP and a finals MVP, or multiple MVPs and a final MVP. Curry is there. Giannis is in that group as well. So it's I'm not saying Giannis is in the top five right now, but it's just interesting to think that this time a year ago, we were all looking for ways to push him into the top 10 and talking about where he was going to finish. But I think Steph is in my top five, and some of that has to do with the teams that have won. You look at what that team did without him. He played 5 games 3 years ago, the worst record in the NBA. I don't know what – and I understand no Klay Thompson either, if that contributed to it heavily. But when Steph Curry hadn't been available, Golden State's been totally different. And whether it's been scoring, whether it's been winning games, facilitating, I think he's a top-five player in NBA history. And I do think his skill is underrated outside of shooting threes. I don't think he gets enough credit for some of the other things that he does. Is he an all-time elite defender like Jordan was? Like Kobe was? No, he was not. But I do think that there are other things about his game that should probably push him towards being mentioned with the other players that we brought up. All right, so the NBA Finals finished, complete, over. Remember, McElroy told you Celtics in three, and that didn't happen. Damian told you Golden State in six. I took Golden State in five, so I missed on that. We'll give Damian all the credit for taking that one when he did how he did. When we come back, John Parker Wilson. We'll talk some U.S. Open. Talk Georgia recruiting Alabama. Just something that seems to be very different. The number one player in the state of Alabama announced yesterday he's committed to Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs. How weird is that? We'll ask John Parker next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Listen online, jocksfm.com. Download the app, iPhone, Android, search WJOX. It's there. Tell your home smart speaker, enable the Jock Skill, or just listen to Jocks. You can always tune in that way. Podcasts, always available at jocksfm.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get yours. Always appreciate you guys liking, subscribing, and reviewing those for us. There's no need, really, to review Benjamin Franklin, the Punctual Plumber, because there's always good. Always. If there's any delay, it's you that they pay. They're going to give you a major discount or no charge when they're late outside of the time frame given for scheduling. Listen, this isn't like a DirecTV deal where they're going to schedule you from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I mean, it's going to be a 2 or 3 hour window max, and they're going to be there on time. All employees drug tested, background checked. Office staff been together over 15 years. So Lee, Chris, Susan, Jeff, they know exactly what you're going to need, how you're going to need it, and who they need to send, because they have multiple master plumbers on staff as well. That's a big deal. Not every plumbing service can offer that. And the phone's going to be answered 24 hours a day by a real person. You're not going to get an answering service. And keep in mind, the best part might be no extra fees for after hours, weekend, or holiday service calls. You know good and well, if you're going to have a plumbing issue, it's probably going to be late. It's probably going to be over a holiday or probably going to be on a weekend. It's just the way it works. We know it. So call 205-982-7775. That's 205-982-7775. Or go to BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com. BenjaminFranklinPlumbing.com, locally owned right there in Pelham. They can tell you about the Benjamin Franklin Club, and they can help you with any plumbing issues that you may have. All right, we welcome in each and every Friday. It's John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback. Thanks to our friends at Crane Works.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Crane Works, Rental Works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. Now, John Parker Wilson.
John Parker, always good to have you in, man. Just want to get your thoughts on Steph Curry grabbing that title last night. Is he top three, top five, top 10 player for you all time?
Steph Curry, you know, I think you'd have to put him up at least. I mean, most people are going to have him in the top five. I'm probably not the best NBA basketball player to go back. I'm not a historian of the game, of the NBA game, but I do love watching Steph Curry. He's a fun player to watch. My kids love watching him play. He can do things that don't even make sense. I mean, the depth and the range that he has and the way he moves, especially when he gets down near the paint, is it's remarkable just to watch his athleticism and his, you know, his size relative to the other guys and what he can go down there and do, and then do it consistently at the same place like he's been able to do. It's just, you know, you don't see that very often these days.
All right, so I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that Georgia has grabbed a commitment from the number one player in the state of Alabama, cornerback A.J. Harris out of Phoenix City, Alabama. Rivals has him as the number 27 overall prospect in this 2023 cycle, number three corner, number one player in the state of Alabama. And I know you're probably like me, and you played a lot later than I did, but there wasn't a lot of guys around your age or the 5, 6, 7 years before you from the state of Alabama that went and played at Georgia. I mean, I could have gone a long time and not been able to tell you a single guy from Alabama that went to play at Georgia. And now Kirby has come in and grabbed guys like Clay Webb, George Pickens, now A.J. Harris. I mean, how wild is it for you, a guy that played at Hoover High School, played at Alabama, followed high school football in this state your entire life, to now see the Georgia Bulldogs having this kind of success recruiting in the state of Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Kirby's done a good job. They've been able to come over here, recruit well. Obviously, winning a national championship is going to help recruiting tremendously. You know, like you said, you know, there was a time I didn't know anybody that was going to Georgia, especially in a place like Alabama that's got two powerhouse schools in Alabama and Auburn. So to leave two choices like that and to go out of state. I mean, it's a tough decision for any kid because you go out, you know, you grow up here. If you're a kid that grows up in Alabama, we talk about it all the time. You understand the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, the Iron Bowl, and how much these two schools mean. So even when you're a kid here, you kind of pick a school, whether you've got any ties to them or not. So it's tough to make that jump to go to any other school. But, you know, Georgia's made it easy on them right now. Kirby Smart's made it easy on them with the success that they've had. Especially the defensive side of the ball, putting a lot of guys in the NFL, making a ton of money. You know, George Pickens, it was hard for me to see him go to Georgia, being, you know, went to the same high school, him going over there, but, you know, he had a pretty good career. So it's changing. Things change, and, you know, hell, he could be back in a year, back at Alabama or Auburn with this transfer portal stuff. So he's a good player. You know, you hate to see a guy leave, but, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We still people from LSU, you know, Christian Harris and Dylan Moses is a great example of, like, it can happen. Like, these guys went to school right there next to Baton Rouge and ended up coming to Tuscaloosa. So it happens all the time. It just hurts when it's a guy from your state going somewhere else.
A couple of those guys from Southern Lab or in University Lab went to school on campus at LSU. I mean, that's the wild part about it. I mean, their high school's on campus and come play football at Alabama. It's just crazy to think about.
Imagine the decision this kid had to make. Like, you literally go to school on campus. I mean, you're walking with all the other students and you're going to high school, and then to to leave and go somewhere. I'm sure it wasn't the easiest conversation at the dinner table, but you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
All right, so you played at Alabama, you played in the NFL, Falcons, Steelers, and obviously you have a brother that has made his way up the ranks in professional baseball. You've been around a lot of cool things, be it SEC football, professional baseball. I kind of lucked into a trip to Omaha. I have to actually bail on the show a little bit early today. Thankfully, Pat Damien going to hold it down for me. It's been on my bucket list for a while. Probably, I would say, top two or three on my bucket list of sports items that I've never been able to do, and I'm going to be able to go, so I'm pretty pumped about it. Have you been to Omaha? If not, where is it on your sports bucket list?
No, I've been to Omaha. You know, I was holding out. I was only going to go unless one of my brothers was playing in it. And I guess, you know, Peyton, he's with the Royals now. This is his second year, so I've got to make the trip. I want to go. I mean, this year with all the SEC teams playing in it, this should be the year for anybody down here to go. If your team's not in it, just because you're going to know so many players and so many coaches that are playing in it. I think this is, you know, Steph Curry, I put him in the top five. I didn't have a really good reason why, just because he's a great player. But I mean, this right here, I've been to the Super Bowl. You know, watching the U.S. Open right now, that'd be pretty fun to go to. But the College World Series with the folks that I've spoken to that have gone, it's a different event because there's so much going on. You know, there's baseball, I think, but there's only a few games a day, only a couple games a day, so it's not like jam packed where you're there from like 8 a.m. till midnight. So it's a slower pace, and you go there and you get the best teams. And I mean, I've seen, and we're reminded every year about how just watching these college kids and the passion and just the fire that they play with, it's fun to watch. And I think it'd be awesome to go watch in person, just having it there, great venue, and having the same place every year to go to. I mean, some people do this every year. You know, you go with your dad and your brothers every couple of years and do it. I'd love to see football move to something like this where we're going to, you know, XYZ Stadium every single year, where it's going to be the same thing, very repeatable, very fun, and just something to look forward to. I think baseball's got to figure it out. Plus, they got obviously an awesome product with these college kids going out there playing baseball.
Is there anything that like, what's up there with that? You say that's towards the top of your sports bucket list that you haven't been able to check off. What else would be up there? Like, what else comes to mind of sporting event that you feel like you just have to attend?
So I've got to be on the road next month. I was looking at the schedule, so this is recency bias right here, but the Red Sox are at the Yankees in the middle of July. Never been to a Red Sox-Yankees game. I'm probably going to look at getting tickets for that if I can shake it out in the schedule. So Red Sox Yankees would be awesome.
And that's in New York?
Formula One racing. It's in New York. You're a Yankees guy, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you right now that is going to be really hot. The air does not really move through that stadium very well, and it's like a microwave, and it's just prepare for the heat. So that's all I'm going to say.
Well, I feel like we're getting pretty good practice right now with what's going on down here. So you've been to the new stadium?
I've been to old and new. Been to two different Yankees Red Sox games at two different times. It's cool, man. It's different. When the Red Sox come to town, it livens up a little bit more. It's really cool. Now I'll say, I've said this on record before, that I'm not a big fan of new Yankee Stadium. I've loved old Yankee Stadium. I would have loved to have seen the Yankees do something similar to what the Cubs did with Wrigley and just trying to renovate it and keep it. I know there was a lot of it that was kind of just worn down and just not really up to par, but you'll see it if you go. It feels very corporate. There are parts of it that feel very cookie cutter. It's not the same. If you had been to the old one, it's just not even close.
You know, I actually got the chance to play. I didn't play a game there in the old one, but I went on like a tryout, like a showcase right before the draft when I was in high school. And I remember riding the subway with my dad. We're going there and get to do like an inter squad like scrimmage down there on the stadium. And I used a bat. They threw out some wooden bats, and it was one of Aaron Boone's bats. So like he I don't think he was with the Yankees at the time he had left, so they threw in all these bats, and I got to play a game in the old Yankee Stadium, and I just remember using Aaron Boone's bat. So I haven't been to the new one. I can't wait to check it out.
Absolutely. If you get a chance to do it, especially for that series, it would be really cool. We appreciate your time each and every week, John Parker, and as our listeners know, you're always brought to us by our friends at Craneworks.
No doubt. Thanks to Craneworks with offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville. And they have the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give the big dog a call for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project. And don't forget the Rental Works division is ready to serve you with a full line of rental equipment for jobs both big and small. And the Waste Works division for all your commercial and roll-off dumpster needs. So check everything out at craneworks.com.
Talk to you next week, John Parker. Appreciate the time, man.
See you guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, that's John Parker Wilson joining us there on the Busch Light Hotline. Do you have a chance to think about yours, Damian, right there? Your sort of your sports bucket list and maybe what might be towards the top of that, what you like would most like to check off?
Yeah, most definitely. I would like.
You don't have to throw them out now.
Don't, I got you.
No, we'll throw them out on the other side. I want to make sure that you had a chance to think about it. See, mine's a little bit weird, and I don't know where yours is, but does yours lean more towards venues or events?
Events.
Now, see, that's,
it's events.
Yeah, and it's kind of – I'm interested where most people go with that because I think most people would go with – they're big events that they want to attend. But for me, for some reason, like mine are more geared around the actual venues that I just have never been to and want to go see. So we will we'll get to that, talk about it a little bit more. Speaking of the Yankees, they knock off the Rays 2-1 yesterday. And Braves are off, so not really going to talk about what Atlanta did. And we know how hot the Braves have been, but – Yankees do deserve some discussion as to just how hot they've been recently. 14 straight wins at home, 14-1 in their last 15. It's been a pretty impressive run here for the Bronx Bombers, and they get another walk-off win last night. And that's something that they've done as well or better than any Major League Baseball team this season. It was their eighth walk-off win of this season. They lead Major League Baseball there, also lead Major League Baseball with three walk-off home runs this season, seventh straight win. I mentioned 14-1 their last 15. They're also 40-10 in their last 50, won 14 straight at home. That's their longest home win streak since they won 15 in a row back in 1961. Anthony Rizzo, 2-for-4, two runs batted in, home run, ninth career walk-off, fifth career walk-off home run, giving the Tampa Bay Rays their third straight loss. So Yankees now double-digit lead there in the American League East. So when we come back, we're going to talk bucket list. Chance to go to Omaha. I've had a couple people already text since they heard me say it a few minutes ago. Got to go do this. Got to go do that. You have recommendations. I'll take it. It's kind of a last-minute trip that I backed into. Actually, our buddies, Dustin and the guys at Local Roots, had an extra seat, asked me if I wanted to go up. And I said, you know what? I'm in. I asked the wife about it. She said, you know what? It's Father's Day. Have at it. Go for it. I've heard you talk about wanting to do this. Auburn's in it. Might not get a chance again. Go have fun. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. Pat and Damian are going to help me out here on the back end of the show as I'm going to have to book out a little bit early. But I want to know what's on the top of your sports bucket list also, because this College World Series is something that I think a lot of people mention, but then a lot of us just don't make the trip. And we just kind of forget about it, or it's not close, or our team's not in it, and we just don't ever really get a chance to go and attend. So what would be towards the top for you? 800-239-9569. Get you on the Busch Light Hotline. 800-239-WJOX. Also, tweet in at Mac and Cube. Let us know what's the one place or the one thing sports-wise that you have to attend. We'll discuss it right after this on McElroy and Cubic in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Cubic in the morning. Damian, what's your favorite thing about Twitter?
My favorite thing about
favorite
it?
Favorite thing. I mean, it'd be easy to give us the things that you aren't your favorite.
I mean, it's some of the foolishness. Like, it's some of the foolishness.
Isn't your favorite thing on Twitter being corrected?
Sure. We'll go with it.
Like you forget a punctuation mark or
everybody
you
comes
accidentally, you don't
grammar
have
police.
Thumbs, but I have fat thumbs. My fat thumb hits like an extra letter, something like that.
The grammar police, yeah.
And not just grammar, but just there's nothing better than being corrected, especially contextually when it comes to Twitter. And so I'll take you to Twitter feed quickly. at Mac and Cube. You can always tweet into the show. Be a part of the show there. It's brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Some of you tweeting in your sports bucket list items. We're going to get to those in just a moment. But I just felt like this was important, and we needed to cover it, Damian, because you and I are wrong.
Uh-oh.
And just we need to it needs to be pointed out how wrong we are.
It
Rob
happens.
Rob at 03 underscore MUSKETEER. So Musk Eater tweets in ... AJ Harris isn't from Alabama. He's from Florida and has been in Bama a couple years. Is he a recruit? Is he a high school recruit in the state of Alabama?
Right.
Will he sign with Georgia out of a high school from the state of Alabama?
Last time that I checked.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry we didn't do a deep
dive.
But
we got to get our corrections in.
Yeah.
Got to tell people how wrong they are all the time with your context on it. So thank you, Rob, for letting us know how wrong we are today.
Okay.
Always great. And it's always right when you go by your CBD store. They have broad spectrum mango CBG gummies that deliver an uplifting effect for a great start to your day. Plus, they have full spectrum blueberry CBN gummies for a great restful night's sleep. These have been released for a couple weeks now and been flying off the shelves. They also have the Trim by SunMed, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences that features THCV, compounded hemp known to naturally suppress your appetite. These products are scientifically backed by clinical trials that span over 13 weeks. You guys have heard it. Your CBD store, first company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. To get that stamp seal, those products have met and achieved a certain set of standards and tests for them to be signed off on. So your CBD store can help you, can help your pet, arthritis, anxiety. They've helped me. They've helped a pet in my household. So go check them out today, one of their four locations. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver. Trustville just off 459, now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Did we say that AJ Harris had lived every waking moment of his life in the state of Alabama?
No, we didn't. We
just, okay. When someone does move to a different state, when do we qualify them as being from that state? What's the age limit for that? Is it 4? Is it 6 months? Is it 12? When can we allow someone to be from a certain state? That's what I need to know. Because I've been corrected on this. So is Kirby Smart not signing a player from Alabama if he goes on and signs AJ Harris?
The last time I checked, he got his diploma from Central Phoenix City High School, which is located in the state of Alabama.
So, like, if a military kid was born in Germany, moves to Alabama at 1, and signs with Tennessee, we give him Tennessee a Germany kid or an Alabama kid?
He's German, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously.
100%. What are we doing? 800-239-9569 if you would like to be a part of the show. And none of us ever said anything about the kid living his entire life in the state of Alabama. Never said it. All we said was the kid plays at Central Phoenix City. If I'm not mistaken, that's a high school in Alabama. And he's committed to go play for Kirby Smart at Georgia.
He's from Florida. He's been in Alabama a couple of years.
Sports bucket list. What's on the top of yours? College World Series is here, and it's something that I feel like a lot of us, when we see it, when it comes around every year, we say, oh, man, I would love to do that. Auburn went when I was actually in school, 97. And I had an invitation to go with a group of guys that were going in an RV, and I was like, man, that would be an amazing trip. But, Damien, you know how this goes. You go talk to the strength coach and say, hey, cool if I miss a couple workouts to go to Omaha? Usually you get a laugh in response to that.
Right, yeah.
Or just kind of
it goes by over well.
You know how your dog gives you like the sideways head turn? When like you, like they hear the bag of treats opening and it goes, like you get their attention. That's what your strength coach gives you when you ask if you can miss workouts. And then turns around and walks away. Was that a real question?
Like, were you seriously asking me? Oh, okay.
Are you in the upside down asking that question? Or are you in this stratosphere? Because that doesn't happen here. So go away and come up with something different. So I've never gone, never been. And it's towards the top of my sports bucket list. I think the only thing that would be above it for me, and you've heard me talk about this before, would be Fenway Park. I don't know what or why my affinity is for it. And it was when I was at Jordan Rogers' wedding, I talked to Josh Rutledge about it. Laura Rutledge's husband, he played at Alabama, played for the Red Sox for a while. And he's like, man, you've got to go. He's like, not even being a player there. He's like going as a fan, being inside of it. You have to go witness it if you're a baseball fan. That park is at the top of my sports bucket list. Now, would I love to sit in the Green Monster seats for a Yankees game? Yeah, of course. But I just want to go to the stadium. I don't really care if they're who they're playing. It's just to witness that place would be amazing. I really do think College World Series would have been next. And fortunately, I had a buddy of mine ask me, our guy Dustin over at Local Roots there in Tuscaloosa, if I wanted to go with them. And I said, you know what? Let's try to figure it out. You, Pat Smith, Haney were able to maneuver some things today because I'm going to have to leave a little bit early and I'm going to be able to go to the College World Series. Excited about that, especially since Auburn's here. I would love to go anytime, but if Auburn being in it, it makes it even that much better.
Are you going to go like full barn? Are you going to go like full barn?
I think I'm going straight homer. It's going to be like boy. all barn Kublik.
Atta boy.
I think I packed every Auburn shirt I have, and that's a lot of them.
You're going to be handing out some more with some WDEs?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Atta boy.
Why not?
I mean, it's the greatest show. It's the greatest school on this side of like heaven, right?
Or absolutely. One of them. No, it's the best.
Oh, I thought it was second
debatable.
Behind.
We're not debating that behind all like our NBA top five or whether or not.
So it's not a debate. Like it's a fact.
Yeah. It's factual. Okay. Rob tweets in. By the way, you're welcome. So
thanks
again, Rob.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate that. You gave us good radio today. Keep tweeting in the stupidity. It helps the show.
It does.
All right, sports bucket list. What's there for you? 800-239-9569. So I asked you yours, Damian. I want to know the one thing, event, arena, venue, whatever it is, what's at the top?
It's the Super Bowl. I just want to get a chance I would love to have played in one because, you know, who wouldn't? I would have been the next Eli Manning. But definitely the Super Bowl. Definitely the Super Bowl and everything that comes with it.
Okay. What's close? Like what's knocking on the door?
What's knocking on the door of a Super Bowl?
Yeah, for as far as your sports bucket list.
The Final Four and National Championship. By far, because you make a whole weekend out of it.
So I drove to Atlanta, Final Four is Florida, Ohio State, and a buddy of mine that I drove over there with, he's like, listen, it's the Georgia Dome, man. Like we're gonna be able to get seats. I know you think it's the championship game or the Final Four and you're just not gonna be able to get seats. He's like, we'll get seats. And sure enough, we got seats, and we were two rows from the top of the Georgia Dome. And a lot of folks like me have probably been to a lot of games in the Georgia Dome when you were towards the back of the upper deck because they were the only seats that we could afford or the only seats that were available. And I'll just say this. You don't really see a whole lot unless you had binoculars because it's way up there, especially then basketball where everything is kind of shrunk a little bit and it's that much further away. But it is really cool to see that many people in one place to watch a basketball game. I'll say this. It is really cool. Did it live up to all the hype? Probably not. But it's definitely something cool to sort of check off the box. What's weird for me, Damian, is most of mine are actually venues. Not so much the actual events. Let's go to Greg in Athens and just get his sort of sports bucket list. What's on there for you, Greg?
A college football national championship, and I got to go see my first ever playoff game this last year. My wife and I went to Dallas to Jerry's World to watch Alabama and Cincinnati, and it was a really awesome experience. And just meeting, you know, some of the Cincy people and just hanging out in that stadium, and it was a really great experience. And so for me. To see a national championship that's not in California would be awesome. And in regards to Rob's comment or tweet, as a former military kid, I was born in Florida, but I've been an Alabamian all my life.
So you're still from Florida, no matter what.
Yeah, according to Rob, but I
Greg, next time you call in, it needs to be Greg from Florida, not Athens. If you don't mind, change that, please. Yeah. There you go. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Melvin Scott, sorry we didn't get to you on those bucket lists. Like, Wimbledon would be on mine. And then other stadiums would be on mine, like Horseshoe, Big House, Coliseum. I haven't seen college games in those stadiums. And I don't really care who they're playing. Like, it doesn't have to be USC, UCLA. I just want to go to a game in the Coliseum. And I think World Cup's got to be on there, too. But that's weird because, like, what round or where does it have to be? You know, the championship game, I don't really know. But I just think going to a World Cup game would be pretty incredible. Speaking of that College World Series, speaking of Auburn, Andy Burcham is going to be on the call, play-by-play for Auburn baseball in Omaha. He joins us next to break down the Tigers' chances to win a national championship.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.